Rabbi Shimon Schwab told the story, a recollection from his youth, something that occurred to him when he was 4 years old. And he shared this, he wrote this actually in German to the German Jewish community in Baltimore before Rosh Hashanah of 1952. But it's a story that I always think about in the context of Matos and Maaseh. You'll see why. Rabbi Schwab said he was a little kid and his parents hired a photographer for himself and his two younger brothers. And he was 4 years old at the time. He said the photographer came and was trying to position the boys to take pictures, trying to get everyone into their place, to get little kids to behave and to concentrate and to focus and to smile when they're taking pictures is not always the easiest of things. And the photographer started handing out to the children to get their attention an array of toys, a little rocking horse and some colorful blocks. And Rav Schwab says, I remember as a kid thinking, you know, I don't know this guy, but he's giving me all these amazing presents. He's giving me all these gifts. And he's handing out this toy and that toy. And then the photographer slipped under his black cape, like it was in the good old days. And he positioned himself and started taking pictures, cute pictures of Schwab and his two younger brothers. And he said at the end, the photographer started to pack up his equipment. And he walked over to Schwab and he started taking back the toys. And he said it was one of the most shocking experiences. He remembers as a child just feeling... When does an adult give a toy to a child and then take it back? He couldn't wrap his head around such an experience. And he said, it was the first time I experienced really deep disappointment in my life. But Rav Schwab, writing about this many, many years later, said, how much of our life, how much of our lives is like that experience? How much of the things of our life are really just toys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to play with, so to speak? And then at the end of our life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and takes back all the toys, all the things that we've amassed over the course of a lifetime. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that the toys were never ours to keep, and that's not what we're going to take with us from this world. It's not the most important things of our life. And Rav Schwab again shared this in the context of Hachana for Rosh Hashanah with his Chevras Avas Chesed, the German Jews of Baltimore in 1952. In life, we always face conflicting values, and there are things that we think are important and things we think are less important. It's so important. What is so important is to know that there's Iker and there's Tafel. Sometimes we get so lost in the sugya of Iker and Tafel. What's really important? What really matters? What should I really be fighting for? What do I really care about? Parshas Matos, we have a double Parsha this Shabbos, Matos Maaseh. In Matos and Perek Lamed Beis, we know the God and the B'nai Reuven come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, Moshe, we want to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? We have abundant livestock. The land is plentiful, it makes a lot of sense, it's going to be crowded in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe at first seems to reject their request, and then they seem to negotiate a little bit, and there's a bit of a clarification as to what it is that they want. Reuven. So the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe initially says, that doesn't sound like a very realistic plan. And then they clarify the request. No, no, we're going to help. We're going to fight for Eretz Yisrael. We're going to divide up the land. Okay. And in the end, they work it out. Now, just try to understand for a second the sacrifice that the B'nai Gad and the B'nai Reuven were willing to make. Right? We know it took them 7 years to conquer the land. It took them another 7 years to divide up Eretz Yisrael, which means that these individuals, these men from Gad, Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven, were leaving their wives and their children behind 14 years. In theory, someone could have left a pregnant wife behind and come back after his own son's bar mitzvah, just to try to give a little context, understand what they were doing. So we think on the one hand, wow, this is amazing. Look at their mesiras nefesh. Look at their willingness to fight for Klal Yisrael. Look how they're so committed to the team, even though they want to remain outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's a complicated sugya. Again, what their intention was. But it seems like they were very dedicated on a certain level. But if you look at Rashi in this week's Parsha, and this will bring us back to the story with Rav Schwab. Rashi says, if you read their words carefully, something is terribly off. Something's really not right, and I think about this Rashi all the time in my own life. Rashi looks at their words. When they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gidras Tzon Nivne L'Mekneinu Po, we're going to build Gidras Tzon, we're going to build pens for our livestock here outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'orim L'Tapeinu, and we're going to build cities for our children. And yes, we're going to come, we're going to help, and we're going to fight. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, and Rashi picks up on, hold on a second, what? You're going to build pens for your livestock and cities for your children? There's an ancient maxim, there's an ancient saying The Rabbeinu Bachai at the beginning of Parshas Bahar brings it. I think the Chovas HaLevavos has it also. Halashon Kulmas Halev. Halashon, the way that a person speaks, is the quill of the heart. The words that come out of your mouth indicate where a person's heart is found. And especially in this Parsha, a Parsha that talks a lot about speech and promises and oaths and sensitivity to speech, right? Moshe Rabbeinu listens to the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben and picks up on a subtlety in their words, which is revealing a problem, a really deep problem in their heart. Listen to the words of Rashi. Rashi says, Chosim hayu al mamonam yoisim ibneim uvnoseim. They cared more about their possessions, their money, their investments, than they cared about their own sons and daughters. Shegdimu mikneim litapam. After all, they say, we're going to build pens for our animals. Oh, and also we're going to build, you know, we're going to build schools for our children. We're going to build cities for our children. Amar lehem Moshe, lo kein. Moshe says, no way. How do you talk like that? And listen to these words. This is the line in Rashi. You have to know this line. Asu ha'ikar ikar. Make the main thing the main thing. Va'tafel tafel. Make the ikar. Make the tafel. How do you put your children after your animals? Now, it's the 3 weeks. We have to be Malamitz Chosan Klal Yisrael. I saw from the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak was dying. Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, one of the great Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael, Minchas Yitzchak, Shailos and Chuvas Minchas Yitzchak, passed away in 1989. So he says, maybe Al Pi Halacha, they were saying a true thing. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Dav Mem that there's an obligation to feed one's animals before one feeds oneself. It says, V'nasati Esev Bisadcha Livhem Techa. And only afterwards, v'achalta v'savata. So there's a halacha. It's a halacha l'maisa. If you have a pet, you have to feed your animal before you eat your own breakfast. So maybe that's what Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven meant. Maybe all they were saying is we're going to make sure that we take care of our animals before our own family, because after all, the Torah itself, we say in Shema, that we're going to provide for our animals, and then afterwards, v'achalta v'savata. But sof kol sof, it's a nice limud schus. Sof kol sof, Rashi's critique stands in its place. Lo kein. Asu ha'ikar ikar va'tafel tafel. And they cared more about their monetary success. They cared more about, again, without being political. And my daughter always yells at me. My daughter keeps saying to me, Daddy, wouldn't you get so political? Wouldn't you get so into politics? And I keep trying to explain to my children, it's not politics. Also, it's life. You have to know what's happening in the world a little bit. When we're trying to figure out, you know, what happens next. People are very worried about getting the economy back on track, and people are not worried enough about getting kids back into school. And again, there's a lot to be said about that, and that's not the point of our shiur right now. But what are our priorities? What's the ikar and what's the tuffel? Financial stability? Making a few good investments? Protecting your real estate? Having a place for your livestock? Or making sure that your children have what they need? And that's, again, that's this... amazing comment of Rashi. Also, ikar ikar va'tafel tafel. Now you read this Rashi, and we're guilty of kind of, you know, like we nod along. It's like, yeah, of course. And then we make a cheshbon nefesh, and we realize that we're also guilty. We're also guilty many times in life. And I want to talk for a moment about one of my pet peeves that's coming up in the days ahead. A number of years ago, one of my friends shared with me a little piece right before the 9 days. I know we still have a couple of days in Halavai. Again, we should be in Eretz Yisrael, Bekarav Mamish with the Gula Shlema. But a friend of mine shared with me a meditation, a kavana, a thought, a perspective on the 9 days a couple of years ago. Here's what he wrote to me. He sent me an email. From Rosh Chodesh Av until the fast of Tisha B'Av, one should. Here's the mission statement. Dedicate time to thinking about the great tragedies of Jewish history, beginning with the destruction of the Batei Mikdash, including the tragic results of the Bar Kokhba revolt, the medieval crusades, the Inquisition, pogroms, expulsions, modern persecution of Jews, the Holocaust, and numerous and unrelenting terror attacks against innocent civilians. There's a lot to think about. I started learning Megillas Eicha today, and with a heavy heart, because I always feel like, what's wrong with you? Do you believe Mashiach's coming before Tisha B'Av? If you do, why are you learning Eicha? So the truth is, the Ben Ish Chai has a commentary on Eicha where he tries to go through every pasuk and turn every pasuk into a message of hope. So there are ways to learn Eicha al pi pnimius, where it's you know, the whole thing is joyous from beginning to end. But I said to myself, if there's going to be a Tisha B'Av, I need to be prepared. And Lamaisa, we're in the 3 weeks. It's the Bein Mitzarim. These are tragic days. These are sad days. So I should know what these days are about. I should be thinking about these things. Consider this again, the email from my friend. Consider that although we may not know why these tragedies occur, we can focus on our own national, communal, and personal flaws and sins and work to improve ourselves. Learn more about the Beis Hamikdash and its place in our spiritual, ethical, and national experience. Acknowledge and be thankful for Medinas Yisrael. Think about how we can grow and improve, but be careful not to lose perspective and not to ignore the miraculous events of the past 70 years, as well as the incredible achievements of its citizens. And if you don't already live in Israel, maybe it's time. Right? These are things that we need to be thinking about during these days. And yet, the tragedy is that what do I hear people sometimes talking about? And again, I hope it's no one here, but if you're guilty of this, maybe it's time to grow up and get over it. Instead of mourning the Galus HaShechina, instead of picking up a Megillas Eicha or the Medrash on Eicha, or learning Maseches Tamid about what a day in the life of the Beis HaMikdash looks like, or learning a Sefer of Chassidus that talks about Galus HaShechina and try to understand what Chorban means and to beg Hashem for Mashiach, what are people busy with? It happens every year. Maybe this year we're a little more focused, or maybe we're just a little more disoriented that we don't have time to worry about these petty things. But how many people are so busy trying to figure out, 9 days, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get a Siyum so I can get a good barbecue? Where am I going to find some loophole to be able to eat meat? And if I'm not eating meat, so then I'm back in Parshas Baaloscha, I'm in Kivros HaTaiva, complaining about, if only we could eat meat, if only we could eat meat. Or people are busy posting recipes of survival tips of how to make quality dairy meals to make it through the 9 days, as if that has anything to do with what these days are about. I promise you, Klai Yisrael are going to survive, Bigadol, and we're going to survive without a barbecue or a piece of meat for a couple of days. But again, it highlights that painful reality of just totally missing the point, of making the Iker and Tafel completely backwards. It's brought in Sifrei Minhagim that there's a minhag that a husband should fold his talis immediately after Shabbos, and it's a segula for Shalom Bayis. It's brought in different svar. So the Satmar Rebbe once noticed that one of his chassidim was very busy. He was very particular about this. He used to fold his talis a certain way, right after davening, right after Motzei Shabbos davening. He'd fold it very carefully. And he said to the Rebbe, he said, he's busy in shul folding his talis. And the Satmar Rebbe said, no, what are you doing? So he said, Rebbe, I saw it in Svarim, the Minhagim, it's a segula for Shalom Bayis. You should fold the talis right after. So Satmar Rebbe said to him, my dear friend, I'll give you a segula for Shalom Bayis. You know what's an even bigger segula? You like segulas? I'll give you a big segula for Shalom Bayis. Instead of spending an extra 10 minutes in shul folding your talis, go home and help your wife clean up from Shabbos. I promise you it's a bigger segula for Shalom Bayis. Rav Mordechai Gifter used to say a similar quip. He used to say that I assure you that vacuuming the home on Erev Shabbos is a bigger segula for Shalom Bayis than folding the talis on Motzei Shabbos. Again, what's Iker and what's Tafel? As the Chazon Ish wrote in one of his opening letters of the Igros Chazon Ish, and as one of my friends in Rebbeim, Rav Judah Michel, always likes to say, right, to make sure that we keep the main thing, as Stephen Covey, the best-selling author and educator said, the main thing is to keep the main thing, which is very true. But the Chazon Ish said it, and if the Chazon Ish said it, it means even more to us. Chazon Ish writes in a letter, Shitzarech Zehiras Yaseira, a person needs great care, great awareness, La'asos es ha'ikar le'ikar, to make the main thing. Life is too short to spend your life playing with the toys like Rav Shimon Schwab learned as a 4-year-old boy. When the Jewish people came back from Bavel, from Galus Bavel, to build the second Beis HaMikdash, so one of the very strange practices we adopted at that time is that, as the Gemara says, as the Talmud Yerushalmi says in Rosh Hashanah, Shemos Chadashim Olu Imanu Mi Bavel. We brought back the non-Jewish names of the months with us from Bavel. The names of the months are not Jewish at all. We're in a month right now called Tammuz. Anyone know how many times the word Tammuz appears in Tanakh? One time. You know what it's talking about? An idol known as Tammuz. There was an idol that was known as Tammuz. And yet these became our names. We use these names. Why would we use these Gaisha names? Why would we use these inauthentic Torah names to describe the months? The Torah says, Chodesh hazeh lechem, Rishon hu lechem, l'chad she'ashana. Right? What's Nisan? What's Tammuz? What are these names? Chazal tell us again, in the Yerushalmi and in the Medrash, it came with us from Bavel. Why did we take non-Jewish names with us from Bavel? Why did we incorporate that into our calendar? So if you look at the Ramban on HaChodesh hazeh lechem in Parshas Bo, The Ramban says, maybe it's an expression, he doesn't say exactly these words, but he says the idea is maybe it's an expression of Hakar Satov. To who? To Hashem. We're reminding ourselves, Ribbono Shel Olam, wow, we were in Bavel, and we had a lot of oppression in Bavel, and there was a lot of suffering in Galus Bavel. And therefore, says the Ramban, I read you his words from Parshas Bo, Lahazkir kisham amadnu misham ha'elanu Hashem Yisbarach. That Hashem, you took us to Bavel, and we want to remember that we survived Galus Bavel, and Hashem, you brought us back from Galus Bavel. So the same way that so much of our life as Jews is Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, we need to have a way to remember the experience in Bavel. So we took a little memento from Bavel. What did we take to remember the experience in Bavel? The names of the month, the non-Jewish names. Ki Eila, says the Ramban, Eila HaShemos, Nisan, Iyar, etc. These are Shemos Parsim, they're not Jewish names. And we adopted them in Bavel, again, to remember our survival from that Galus. It's a form of Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. But it's still strange. It's still so foreign that we would call this month by the name of a non-Jewish idol. It's very strange. A second question. The Gemara in Yoma, Chof Aleph Amud Beis, says that there are five major differences between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. And one of the key differences, the first one on the list, is that the first Beis HaMikdash had an Aron, and the second Beis HaMikdash did not have the Aron in the Kodesh Kadashim. An amazing thing, a tragic thing. So you would think the reason we didn't have an Aron by the second Beis HaMikdash is because they hid it and they didn't know where it was. But if you look in Mishkalim, Maseches Shkalim, in the sixth parak, it's clear that we did know where it was. So why would they not bring back the Aron if they knew where it was? Why would they not take the Aron and restore it to its place in Bayis Sheni? These questions and several others are raised by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes LeYaakov and Parshas Bo. And he develops the following simple yesod. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, Klal Yisrael wanted to remind themselves during Bayis Sheni that this is not it. They wanted to remind themselves in the clearest way. They knew, again, how they knew, he develops at length, but they knew that this was not going to be the final stop for Klal Yisrael. And they wanted to make sure that they were aware of that. That as much as we were thankful that we had a Beis HaMikdash once again, this was not the final Beis HaMikdash. And this was not going to be the complete Geula. And to remind themselves of that, they dafka didn't put the Aron back into the second Beis HaMikdash. They dafka adopted non-Jewish names for the months as a reminder that again, we're not yet living the ideal life that we hope to live. And that would serve to them. These Hanhagos and others would remind them of what's Iker and what's Tafel. Yes, we have to appreciate what we have, but this is not it. And a Jew has to always ask oneself, am I there? Have I arrived? Am I focusing? Am I prioritizing the right things? Am I making the Iker and the Tafel tough? In Elul 1934, the Edelstein family moved from Lithuania to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Edelstein was a great Talmud Chacham, a great community leader, and he always wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he packed up his family in Lithuania, in Lita, 1934, Elul 1934, and he traveled for 2 weeks by boat to come to Eretz Yisrael. And his young sons described, years later, that experience of traveling with their father to Eretz Yisrael by boat. And they said it was nauseating, the boat, the bumpiness of the boat, it was very hard to concentrate on anything. And they said our father sat every free minute on that boat ride for 2 weeks straight. Every minute he was busy learning Maseches Bava Kama, Perek Meruba. Perek Meruba is one of the hardest prakim, one of the most challenging areas of Shas. And yet our father, they said, his children said, he just sat there and he learned. And he learned and he learned and he learned. Without all the noise and all the distractions on the boat and all the anxiety of coming to Eretz Yisrael, he stayed focused on his learning, making the Iker. They came to Eretz Yisrael, they settled in the fledgling Moshav of Ramat HaSharon, which is sort of central Israel, a little bit north of Tel Aviv, not too far from the water. And they came to this like chicken coop that had been converted into some type of house for Olim. And they come there and they've got their belongings, these small wooden crates, and they're trying to, imagine what that means in 1934 to move from Lithuania to Eretz Yisrael. They come to this moshav in Ramat HaSharon, and their father says to them immediately, "Oh, let's see what's happening in the Beis Medrash here. Let's see what other stuff. We on the boat, we didn't have that much. We could, we weren't able to learn with so much Yishuv Hadas, with so much Harchova. But now that we're here, let's go check out the Beis Medrash. Let's see what's available to us." And they went to the Beis Medrash, and the Gabbai produced two more volumes of Bava Kama for these two young boys to be able to learn with their father. Before they even figured out where they're going to sleep that night, before they figured out what they're going to do to get a normal meal for the first time in who knows how long, right? All that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Edelstein wanted was to come to the Beis Medrash and to show his sons that we came to Eretz Yisrael for the spiritual delights of the land. And with all the distractions on that boat, he sat there with his Bava Kama learning Perek Merubah. And therefore, it's not surprising that these two boys, that these two sons, Rav Yaakov Edelstein, who was the beloved Rav of Ramat HaSharon for many, many years, a big, big tzaddik. They just put out a biography a little while ago in Hebrew. I think they translated it into English recently, called Sulam Yaakov. And his brother, Yibadal L'chaim, Rav Gershon Edelstein, one of the Ziknei Yisrael, he's 97 years old, Rosh Hashiva in Ponovich now, in Bnei Brak. Big, big tzaddikim. Where did they get that inspiration to become such giants of Torah? It's because their father was a person who knew how to prioritize the Iker, to be able to focus on what's most important. And when things are chaotic, but to be able to say, hold on, Torah, now's the time for learning. Not to make excuses, but to be able to stay focused, no matter what the situation calls for. It says at the end of Parshas Matos, V'nich b'shah ha'aretz lefnei Hashem, that the land, and Moshe's describing, the land's going to be conquered when we go to fight and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'nich b'shah ha'aretz lefnei Hashem. The Teferes Shlomo of Radamsk, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says, V'nich b'shah ha'aretz lefnei Hashem. It's mamish the mission statement for our whole life. V'nich b'shah, we have to conquer ha'aretz, our physicality, lefnei Hashem, before our spirituality. In other words, we have to be able to suppress our physical desires, our physical comforts, all of our materialistic pursuits, our artzias, v'nich b'shah ha'aretz lifnei Hashem, to conquer the lower urges and the lowly pleasures that we seek in this world, to remind ourselves, lifnei Hashem, what's the ikar in my life, to be before Hashem. Says the Teferes Shlomo, haynu shiachvosh ha'artzios v'yachnia chomro lifnei Hashem, to suppress my physicality, my materialism, not to fall into that trap, God forbid, of being more concerned about my livestock than I am about my own children. I'll just conclude with the words of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I saw just today a beautiful insight from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This Shabbos, we're going to, of course, read Matos and Maaseh, B'siyata D'Shmaya. And when we conclude a Chumash, we say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said that when we say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek for Chumash Bamidbar, it's extra special. Because we find ourselves in these days of longing in the Bein HaMetzarim. We're thinking about Chorban, we're longing for redemption. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, what's the Kavana? I try to remember it this Shabbos, if you're Zochet to hear Kriya Satorah. What does it mean? What do we think when we say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek? The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Kedarko B'Kodesh, such a sweet way. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, whenever you have three of something, a thrice repeated whatever, it's called a Chazaka, right? That establishes a legal Chazaka. In other words, that represents there's going to be some type of permanence. So when we say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, three times Chazak means permanence. Says Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chazak, number one, we think about the first Beis HaMikdash, which was very Chazak, spiritually was very Chazak. But it wasn't able to merge itself with physicality in the right way, and because of that, it was eventually destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara tells us, was so beautiful. If you never saw the physical beauty, the aesthetic beauty of the second Beis HaMikdash was mamish so beautiful. It was very robust physically and materially. But spiritually, I told you, there were five differences. The first one was, it didn't even have an Aron. It didn't even have an Aron in the Kodesh Kadashim. So the second Beis HaMikdash was Chazak, but also it couldn't last. But my friends, the third Beis HaMikdash, Lubavitcher Rebbe said, is going to last for eternity because Chazak, Chazak, v'nit Chazek. It's going to be this bridge, this balance, this healthy balance of spirit and matter merging together perfectly. And because of that, it can last forever. To make sure that the Iker has its place, the Tafel has its place, when we understand, again, what's Iker and what's Tafel, when we understand Nich v'sha ha'aretz lefnei Hashem, like the Teferes Shlomo Radamsk said, when we understand, like Rav Schwab learned as a little boy, that all the toys of this world, they're fun to play with, but we have to give them back at the end of our life. It's not what's going to make our lives meaningful. Let's not fall into that trap of Nivna l'miknenu, that we're going to build first for our livestock, and then Aram l'tapenu. But let's make sure that we know what the Iker is. These days are days to give us a chance to focus on things that we don't think about enough throughout the rest of the year. And Hashem puts a squeeze on us, the Bein HaMetzarim, to help us to get focused, to have a little bit of that tunnel vision that we need in order to make sure we're focusing on the right things. So B'siyata D'Shmaya, Hashem should help us to make sure, like the Chazon Ish said, to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay, Laila Tov, thank you very much. I apologize for the...